Sheni, Chav Zayin. If you don't have the Sefer in the WhatsApp group, David put pictures of the pages. This is a short but super awesome and powerful piece, all about tefillah. And Emirza Hashem, we can get through pretty much all of it, even in the short time that we have. It's entitled Mavo Katsar LeTefillah, a brief introduction to tefillah. It is incredibly powerful, but it is brief. Now, that is advantageous for us in the sense that we can get through it. On the other hand, it's obvious and inevitable, and in fact, the case will be that I'm sure it will raise all sorts of questions that he is not necessarily answering. And the explanation for that is because it's a Mavo Katsar. This is not an entire book on tefillah, which of course has been and could be written. This is just a brief introduction. Yet, in just these two pages and a few brief paragraphs, I think he makes a number of powerful and insightful points, and they're demanding. They require us to work hard and perhaps really focus our attention. But I think even in these brief paragraphs and these two short pages, there is enough nuggets here and gold that really, if we would just focus on this message, it would transform our davening. So he begins, and this shows you what kind of Talmid Chacham he is. You wouldn't have expected someone to begin a brief essay on tefillah with Gemara Baba Kama Dav Gimel Amud Beis. Those of you who recall, the opening Mishnah in Baba Kama lists the four main categories of damages of Nezikin, Arba Avos Nezikin, and one of them, we don't really know how to translate it. Mave, what does that mean? It's actually a machlokas in the Gemara, what does it mean? And Rav says, Ze Adam. This is referring to Adam HaMazik. If a person directly, or perhaps through his koach, damages someone, he has to pay their responsibilities for that. Adam HaMazik. How does the Gemara know that the Mishnah says the Lashon of Mave? Mave means Adam. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu Perek Chav Aleph, which is a metaphor. Amar Shomer, the watchman being God, said to the Jewish people, this is talking about Geula, coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Asa Boker Vagam Laila, you can come back in the morning, you can go back in the night, Im Tavayun Bayu, if you will request. Says Rav Volbi, what do you see from this? Hari Mave, Humi Lashon Bayu, Hainu Tfila, to request. That's in essence, bakasha, that's in essence of davening. And this pasuk that's referring to davening, a maisa of requesting of davening, is given by the Gemara as a proof for the definition of Adam. You put one and one together, what do you get? Zui hagdaras Adam. An amazing, amazing thing emerges, totally in an unexpected place, Baba Kama Daf Gimel. What is the definition of man? Shehu mispalel. Davening is not something that we do among other things. Davening is one of the definitional parts of what makes us human. There are certain things that we do as humans, or even as Jews, you would say, that are common to every other humans, as we do as men, but are really common to any living creature or organism. And then there are things which are core to what make us a human being, core to what make us a Jew. Says Rav Volbi, you see from this Gemara, that one of the core definitions, one of the essential aspects, not incidental, but core definitions of a human being, is that he davens. Tefillah hi apula hamesamel er haadam yoter mikol pula acheret. When they're looking for a pasuk to define Adam, they bring a pasuk of tefillah because tefillah symbolizes a human being even more than any other action. Actions of milchama, binyan batim, afilu chayim chevratim besudarim, whether it's war, whether it's building, or living in a basic civil society. Anu motzim gam etzal balei chayim, that you can find in other parts of the animal kingdom. But to be elevated, to be inspired, to reach out, to search, try to get close to Hashem, the King of Kings, to speak to Him directly. Baruch Ata. A lot of Bali Machshava, including Rabbi Tzadok, right in the beginning of Tzikas Hasadik, I think, talks about the Baruch Ata. You are a Rabbi Tzadok expert, Nathan. So the fact is, we speak to Hashem in second person. Baruch Ata. That relationship, that ability to talk to Hashem, that desire to be close to Him, that is a defining and unique aspect of what it means to be a human being. So at the very least, if nothing else, this paragraph should give us an appreciation for the opportunity and the responsibility of davening. It's something that is unique and core to our identity, not just as Jews, not just as religious Jews, but as human beings. He continues. B'Shabbos Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara there is discussing two different brises which seem to contradict each other about what are the mitzvos which are so special that not only do you get benefit in the next world, but you also get, Karen Kehemes Bolam Haba, you get in the next world, Ochel Perasein Bolam Hazeh, you get in this world and the next world, and there's a contradiction between the different lists. And there are some things that are on one list that are not on the other. So the Gemara tries to reconcile and says, in fact, it's not really two different lists, because really the second list is just being, I can't remember if it's the second or the first, but the longer list, I think that's actually the first list in the Gemara. The longer list is listing all sorts of things which are implicitly categorized and included in the other list. So in that second list, one of the things that was mentioned is Gemilas Chasadim. So the Gemara says, well, that longer list is not such a contradiction, because all sorts of things in the longer list are really part of doing chesed. And of all things, the shocking one is, says the Gemara, what's one of the things that had been on the first list? Iyun Tfila. Davening with real kavana. And the Gemara says, yeah, that's not a contradiction, because Iyun Tfila is Bechlal Gemilas Chasadim. That's unexpected. The davening with real kavana is a form of Gemilas Chasadim. Now, who are you doing chesed for? Yourself. The greatest chesed you can do for yourself is iyun tefillah, because through davening, all sorts of things that you might need, hopefully Hashem will give you. So if chesed is helping someone when they're lacking something, and if davening is a way to get that, so then davening is an ultimate form of chesed. Now it's interesting, it's a little bit imprecise. I actually looked this up last night because I was confused by it. What he quotes here from the Gemara is actually from Rashi. What we just saw until now is the Gemara. But the rest of this, which kind of looks like when you're reading Rav Olbi, it sounds like it's all in the Gemara. But if you're looking, don't be nervous. It's not there. It's in Rashi there. Iyun tefillah, this is now a quote from Rashi. Iyun tefillah bechlal gemilas chasadim. Now, it's a little bit of a convoluted, but it ends up becoming a very powerful limud. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Perek Yud Aleph, Tichsiv, Gomel Navsho, Ish Chesed. Someone who gives over or delivers Navsho, his soul, is an Ish Chesed. So we have the Chesed part, but what is Gomel Navsho? What does that have anything to do with Tefillah? So Rashi continues, but Nefesh, or Navsho, in this first Pasuk, is an allusion to Tefillah. How do we know that? From a second Pasuk, in Shmuel Aleph, by Chana, when she's davening desperately for a child, what does she say? What does the Navi say? Ve'eshpoch es nafshi lifnei Hashem. So the language of nefesh is a language of tefillah. In other words, it says, So Rashi says that tefillah is the most important thing that we can do for ourselves. It's part of our nefesh. It's part of our core identity. That's how we're gomel chesed to ourselves. And as we saw beforehand, it is the definition of mankind. Now with that introduction, again, I think each one of those points are already nice, but they're really just quoting two Gemaras. Now comes Rav Olbi's chidushim, which I think, or at least observations, which I think are so powerful and on point, and will really give us some food for thought. Says Rav Olbi, Davar zehu yochol kol echad lahargish ba'atzmo. He says, let's be honest. If we're really thinking about it, if we're really doing it right, every one of us could feel this on our own. Rov hit pachuto shel adam bruchaniyut kshural b'tvila. Very powerful line. If you'd like to underline or highlight, this would be one of them. Most of a person's development in spirituality and avodas Hashem is connected to davening. Mi she'eino mispalel tfiloso kechov shigrati. Someone who, now of course, if you flip that around, it is probably what most of us do. But someone who doesn't come to davening every day and just go through the motions like a regular, habitual, you know, horat keva, you know, I have an obligation. That's the way how most of us daven. You know, only when you come to Israel do you really appreciate that. Right, because once you start doing Harad Keva, right, then you, which I don't think is such a thing really outside of Israel, but Harad Keva is basically the way most of us daven. In other words, we daven, we even come to shul, but it's without even thinking about it. Right, that's the beauty or danger of Harad Keva. Right, you don't even have to think about it; the money just gets deducted. It's automatic payment, automatic deduction. So if we go through davening that way, so everything that he's about to say is obviously not going to happen. But someone who doesn't do that. Someone doesn't just go through the motions when he davens. He's living in his davening. This is a very, very interesting observation. I don't know if I would have thought of this on my own at all. He says, one of the benefits of davening with real kavana, of being alive during your tefillah, is each tefillah is connected to the one before and to the one that comes afterwards. B'mincha, hu maschil b'makom ha'pnimi b'nafsho, Bo gamar b'shachris. You pick up where you left off at shachris. Ubamariv, humam shich b'makom shenishar b'mincha. And at mariv, you pick up where you left off at mincha. In other words, you're alive, and therefore you take a break to go to work, to do things, but at the end of the day, you are alive during davening, and you can reconnect to that in the next davening. Hamispalo b'tam v'das, yochol lahoy b'atzmo. And I think this is his challenge to each of us, and I think deep down we all know it's true, and I think that's why he formulates it this way. To someone who really knows how to daven, he could testify about himself. You don't need anyone else to convince you. You don't need anyone to prove it to you. You know yourself. Kilo hirgish miyamav osa hargasha v'oso tam b'shtei tefilos. You know that each tefillah is different. Ube'emes bilti efshari min hanimnahu. It's impossible otherwise. Sh'shtei tefilos tiana shavos. It's impossible for two tefillos to be the same. This is a very important point. I want to spend 2 minutes just to explain what he means. If you are just going through the motions, I'm not talking about someone who doesn't daven, I'm not talking about someone who doesn't come to shul. You're in shul, you're davening. But basically, you're going through the motions. So I have a newsflash for you. The words are the same every day. And therefore, basically, the experience is going to be identical and the same every single day. But someone who's truly, truly, it's what he calls living davening, someone who's truly ma'ayin until he really can daven with kavana. And I would add, I don't think it has to be for all 40 minutes, halavai, even every bracha. But even if you just have that, even if it's a brief moment, where you really, really can connect in your tefillah, so then he points out something that is obvious. That's why we can be made on ourselves. No two tefillahs will ever be the same for the simple reason that at each moment that we're davening, shachris yesterday, mincha in 3 weeks, a particular marav from 7 years ago, even though it's all the same shemoneh esrei each time. But of course the davenings will have been different, because we were in a different place in each of those times. If you come to a particular davening having just had an amazing experience at home with your wife, that's one kind of davening. You'll bring all that. And if, God forbid, you just came from having a fight, it's a different kind of davening. If you just came from having a difficult conversation with one of your children, or something really happened, or God forbid they got hurt, that's one kind of davening. If you just came from their college graduation, it's a different kind of davening. If you just got fired from your job, that's one Shemoneh Esrei. If you just got a promotion, it's a different Shemoneh Esrei. Could be in the same day. And it's the same exact words. But by definition, if you're actually having kavana, if you're actually living the davening, it cannot be that the two tefillos are the same, unless you are living Groundhog Day or something like that. Right, but then you have other problems. But if you're actually living, and I think that's why he uses the word chai b'tefiloso. He didn't say daven with kavana. He said chai b'tefiloso. If you're alive when you're davening, if you're sentient, you're conscious, so then it's impossible for the experience to be the same. Because you bring whatever you're experiencing into it at that time. I think it's, you know, there's a Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, the longtime rabbi in Atlanta. So he has an essay which then became the title essay of a book called A Shul Without a Clock. Now we have two of them, so maybe we fail his test. They don't always work, but we have two of them. He says, the whole point is, in every shul, in every community, you know, let's say Shachar Shabbos, certainly for Ashkama Minyan this is true, you know when it ends. Everyone knows, oh yeah, if you go to that Minyan, not only they start then, but they basically end at such and such time. Right, you go to the 9 o'clock Minyan in Chicago, so that ends at 11:30. You go to the Ashkama at 7, it ends at, you know, 8:25, whatever it is. He says, that phenomenon, doesn't matter if it's the slower one or the fast. So in our world, we think, oh yeah, the one that's more serious and the Kavanah davening, that's one that's longer. She says, but they're both puzzle. The idea that you could tell me in advance, oh, yeah, shul so-and-so, minyan so-and-so ends at that time, the fact that that's predictable is an inherent flaw. How could it be predictable? Who knows? Maybe something good was happening, and it would end up being, you feel like you have less to daven for. Maybe it's in a crisis, you have longer to daven for. The very fact that you can predict when a davening is going to end, which he uses, obviously, symbolizes by the clock, that shows that you're already missing something. It should be that when you start davening every day, you have no idea when you're going to end. That's a pretty powerful statement. I'm not saying we're on that madriga, or certainly not me personally, but it's totally consistent with what Rav Volbi is saying here. If you're living davening, then no two davenings can be the same. And that's the power of Kavanah. He continues. He gives a mashal. I'll say it outside just for the sake of time. His mashal is very, very powerful. He says, if you go on a train, right, there are people here who take the train every day to work. If you go on a train, if you're on the same train, every day. I'm not talking about like underground New York City disgusting train. But if you go on a train where you get to like see things outside and there are windows and green, things like that. In New York, they once knew about that. Mirza Shem one day again. And even though you're looking, he says, at the same scenery, but it's never the same thing. Now the way he says the metaphor, just so I can be pedantic and get you into the nitty-gritty. So he says the metaphor a little bit differently than I would have said the metaphor. He says, because even if you're looking at the exact same trees, but you're in a different place each time. Right? I would have just thought that the trees are a little bit different. You mean you're on the same, the train's the same every day, but each moment you're seeing a different tree. Either way, it doesn't really matter. The point is, however you want to look at the davening, the fact that it's the same nof or the same train, either way the point is the same, which is that No two trips are the same, because you could be looking at the same thing each day, but from a different vantage point. Or I saw it in one place here. Each way you're looking at the same thing, but if you come at it from a different perspective, it's actually a different experience. And if you look at the bottom of the paragraph, he has a very incredible, important quote from Maseilas Yesharim. Maseilas Yesharim is talking about the challenge. You would think, right, and ostensibly it's true, right, the challenge of emunah, of really feeling like you're talking to Davinit, you're talking to Hashem. So he says, listen, the reality is, Mishuhu Baal Seichel, I'm in the middle, four lines from the bottom of the paragraph, there's a quote from Maseilas Yesharim, where you see the quote marks. Mishuhu Baal Seichel Navon Bima'at Hitbonenut V'simat Lev Yuchal Lekvo Balibu Libo Amitut HaDavar. Someone who's a thoughtful person, an insightful person who just puts even a little, this is the emphasis on a little bit, even just a little bit of effort, has a little bit of self-reflection, will realize the truth of the following. Ech hubav en osev en otein mamish, imo yitbarach, lefonov hu mitchanein, meito hu mevakesh, hu yisbarach shemo ma'azin lo umakshi ledvaro. A person who's being honest, who's thoughtful, will realize the truth without external proofs. You don't need external proofs. A person will realize in and of itself, by himself, intuitively in his gut, that when he's davening and davening well, who's he talking to? He's not talking to the wall. He's talking to Hashem. Personally, intimately, it's from him who he's asking. Hu Yisbarach is the one who's listening. Umakshiv, kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu, v're'ehu shomea umakshiv alav. Now, I would add, I think it's obvious, so I'm going to assume this is what the Maseilas Yesharim meant. It doesn't mean that it's easy to always have that level of davening. But if a person has that, you know in your gut that there's someone that you're talking to, that's listening to you, you don't need to go to the Discovery Seminar. You don't need to go to Eishet Torah. You don't need to go to NCSY. If you really can daven well, it is both nourishing your emunah and the source of the emunah at the same time. It is a self-repeating cycle. The davening itself is the source of emunah, and you really, really can feel it. I'll tell you, it's an amazing. This from Maseilas Yesharim, right? I was looking at it last night for the first time. I can't even remember the last time I'd seen this inside. But it reminded me a few years ago, about 6 years ago, one of my sons had two burning issues that he wanted to discuss. One was he wanted to wear tcheles. At that time, none of my kids were wearing tcheles. He wanted to wear tcheles, and I'd already told him, you're not just going to do it because that's the cool thing. Now, it's a good thing if you live in Israel and the cool kids all want to wear tcheles. Right? In America, I think, in other places, to be cool as a teenager, you want to do other things. But in Israel, in certain crowds, like that's what all the cool kids, they want to wear tcheles. Right, Moshe? Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. So I said, you're not doing it just for that. You have to learn the sugya. And he did. And he corresponded with the Talmud Chacham in Beit Shemesh, who's already written Sfarim on Tcheles, and he was maybe 13 at the time. At some point, I was like, okay, you know, And the second thing was, that particular child had a hard time davening, a very hard time for him. So for both of those, I set up, I brought him with me to Gush on a Friday, and after Shir ends, I think, at 12, so I can't remember when Shir ends on Fridays, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein agreed to sit with us and sit with him one-on-one to talk to him. How many 13-year-old kids get to sit with Rosh Hashiva? So the first half of the conversation was all about tcheles. That was powerful. And as we sit here today, that son and the other two now all wear tcheles. As they point out to me, I was like, Abba, don't you feel left out? Anyway, part of that discussion was, should a son do something if his father doesn't? That was very interesting. It was a parenting conversation. It was a tcheles conversation. But then my son asked him about davening. And it was so good. I remember saying to my son when we got into the car, we went for the tcheles part, but the tefillah part was even more important. And if I had known how good it was going to be, because obviously it was off the cuff, he had no idea what we wanted to talk to him about until we sat in his office, I would have been recording it. Because I can't remember everything. Even a week later, I couldn't remember everything. I still can't remember everything 6 years later. But one thing I do remember, it hit me then, and it mamash reminded me of this Maseilas Yesharim. One of the things he was saying, maybe he was thinking of the Maseilas Yesharim in his own heart, but he didn't quote it, I don't know. He was trying to make this point to my son, that even though it's hard, you know, not to give up, because really, in your kishkas, he says, I'm convinced that everyone really, really feels that they're talking to Hashem. You know, you say you don't feel anything. And I'm not saying you're lying. That's what he's saying. But in your gut, he says, everyone really, really does it. He said, I remember him giving this as a kind of a hypothetical. He says, if I would tell a person, here's $100,000, here's $1,000,000, but I want you to spend 45 minutes every morning talking to the wall. Just talk to the wall. He said, the person could not do it. Certainly not consistently. There's no way you go out of your mind. If you really, really, in your heart of hearts, felt that there's no one on the other end of davening, and it's the same thing as talking to the wall, you couldn't do it. Now, maybe there are some people who say they can't daven. Okay. But that wasn't who my son was. That's not who any of us are. So it's true, we don't always feel the inspiration. Let's be real. But in our heart of hearts, sisters, we really know it's true. We know, we feel it. I can't prove it to you. I can't explain it to you. But in our heart of hearts, Sister Sharon, we know it. If we didn't know it, we couldn't do it. If for us, it was just like talking to the wall, we wouldn't do it. Now, how do you go from that to each day trying to be better? Again, it's a mavo katsar. He's not giving you the full how-to. But I thought that's really, really powerful to think about. It's, in many ways, davening is the hardest thing. And in many ways, it's the most natural thing. I think that's the paradox that comes out of this chapter, which is so powerful for us to wrestle with and to really think about it. It's the definition of what it means to be a human being. It's the most basic thing we do. The fact that we reproduce, the fact that we have to expel waste, that doesn't make us human. Lots of people do that. Lots of organisms do that. It's the most human thing to do, he says, to daven. That's Adam. That's Mave. It's an instinct. We get it. We all know it to be true. And yet, it's one of the hardest things. I'll just paraphrase the second page for you, since we're running out of time. I want to finish in 2 minutes. He quotes the famous Reb Chaim. If you go through yeshiva, at some point you probably heard this Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim explains that there's tzvei dinim. There's two aspects of kavana. One is that you're aware that you're standing lifnei Hashem, omei lifnei Hashem. And the other is perish hamilim, that you understand the words. Now, interestingly, Revolbi, the way he formulates it, if you turn to the second page, he says the first one, the fact that you're aware of you're standing before Hashem, that's the maisa tefillah. And then there's kavana hamilim, which is the additional aspect of kavana. So says Revolbi, and he points out, just so like you should know, like he's not like this like wild spiritual tzaddik who doesn't relate to people like you and me. He gets us. That's what he says. He says mavil mo. This is astounding. Yelid bar mitzvah karen schayv mitzvah zu. The feeling of standing for Hashem is the hardest thing. But already a 13-year-old on the night of his bar mitzvah is already required. Perish hamilim. That's what Reb Chaim says. It's good to have it for everything, but at least you need to have it for the first brachos of Shmoneh Esrei. But be omid lifnei Hashem, the feeling that I'm standing before Hashem, says Reb Chaim, that's ma'akev in the entire Shmoneh Esrei, not just the first bracha. It's ma'akev. It's not a ma'isa tefillah if you don't realize you're talking to Hashem. That's unbelievable. That's not easy. And Revolbi gets that. And yet, that's what we're required to. So I'll just read let's read the second paragraph and then we'll skip to the end. He says, he points out that the Rif quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, quotes that once upon a time there were people who could reach almost prophetic states of spiritual inspiration during davening. Says Revolbi, let's be honest, that ain't us. Gam anu mit'alim b'li gvul b'shas tefillah. Okay, even though we can't get, the line before that. Anu im ledargo ke'elu lo nagia. We're not doing that. But nevertheless, anu mit'alim b'li gvul b'shas tefillah. Let's be honest, if we daven well, it can be inspiring. Hamashkia avoda, that's the key. We have to put in the effort. V'simat leiv, we pay attention. Eino zokok od l'rayos alamuna. This is the point. This is the paradox. Hamet lamid lamud l'fnei Hashem b'tfiloso. Barabos itim yimsa b'libos yediya havada'it. L'fneihu omeid. Again, you say, I can't daven unless I believe. The greatest source of belief is the tefillah. If you can fake it till you make it. If you can really, really work on davening, not only will the emunah make your davening better, the tefillah makes the emunah better. It's a self-nourishing system. It's a fascinating phenomenon. And again, I think we grapple with the fact that it kind of goes in and out. Right? It's like cell service in Mem Shalosh. It goes in and out. But when it's on, we know exactly what he's describing. I'll just paraphrase the end. The next paragraph, he points out that Kavanas Hamilim, he says, don't get so into the crazy stuff. He points out from Chaim Volozhiner, it's a big paragraph here from Nefesh HaChaim, that in all the words of tefillah, you think you're just asking for, Parnasa and Barech Aleinu, you think you're asking for Refuah, Refuah Shalem. He says, yeah, those are the simple levels, but there's 100 other layers of Kabbalah and mysticism, all sorts of secrets that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah embedded into the words. And therefore, he says in the last paragraph, this is the most important, with this we conclude. On the one hand, yes, the sitter who sefer ha'amuk v'hakashe biyoter, the hardest sefer in all Torah Shebaal Peh, thus understood, is not the Gemara Eirvin or Zvachim, it's the sitter. Because there's all these mystical secrets that are embedded. And yet, therefore, you need to forget about that stuff. Ein lanu ela lehispalel b'meshech shanim. We have to, again, it doesn't happen overnight. We have to be consistent over time. How do we daven? Metinut, patience, hitbonenut, being thoughtful, not running. Meruba. Ulihizaher, listen to this. Ulihizaher mitlavur chitzonit she'en ima machshava. He is not into some of these newfangled things, Rav Volbi, of, you know, jumping up around or all sorts of external fakerai, you know, expressions of passion. He says those aren't real. You have to be intellectual. You have to be thoughtful. Ein lirot betfila aruka maaseh tzidkus. And don't think that the longer you davening makes you a bigger tzaddik. Not your typical mashkiach. Don't think that the longer the davening makes it better. Ein zedoma ela letalmid shetalmudo kasha alav. Right? If you really have a hard time at math, it takes you a long time to get through the homework. So if you're davening, if it takes you so long to get through the Shemoneh Esrei, maybe it's because you don't know how to daven yet. It's a very interesting perspective. Uba amu mamushach ola la havarzat dvarim. Matov. So what's the answer? Matov litragel litpalel mitoch siddur dafka. Daven from a siddur. Again, it's a longer shmooze of davening with your eyes closed, davening with the siddur. But he's a big fan of davening with the siddur. Slowly, but not schleppy. Understand the words and focus on the dalif nemiyata omed. That's the secret, says Rav Volbi, to consistently having a spiritually nourishing experience during tefillah. Good job, everybody.